Perhaps you'd like to turn in your Bible, if you would, as we open this session, to Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your presence. Deal with us, Spirit of God, honor your word, honor the person and work, Lord, that you have accomplished. Let it be done. And Father, that you would be pleased, thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. God happens to be glorious, period. He just plain is glorious. And God happens to enjoy himself all the time. And we're in his presence. And God enjoys being who he is. Now, in the light of that, a little exercise that may be of help to you. If I may, in Genesis chapter 1, you are going to recall. I got to put my watch down because it doesn't mean a lot when you put it down. But in Genesis chapter 1, we are told God, in his magnificent design and purpose, before the foundation of the earth, God determined, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost determined in their wonderful, wonderful being, essence, nature, determined to go and glorify themselves. And since there's no one else except God, then only God can be God, and only God can glorify himself. And he did that. And he determined, before angels or anyone is created, he determined the Lamb of God slain, what? Before the foundation of the world. Christ determined, God the Son, God the Father, determined to, that's why creation, God the Lamb, God the Son determined to die on the cross when there isn't any cross, there aren't any angels. And God determined to do it. And that's why the angels are created, you know. And the angels are created, and that leads to the next step in the sequence. And humans are created. And humans are created, and all of it headed down the corridor of time to the cross. Always to the cross. That's the basis of everything. Now, so here we go in Genesis chapter 1. And we're told God created us humans. And verse 26, if I may. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the earth, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God, here we are, us humans, and God created us in his image. The word image means shadowing, a shadowing forth. Don't think of the photograph, a shadowing, a shadow, person, the tree, the persons have a shadow, a shadowing forth. And it has to do with image and principle. And we have the word likeness, and likeness has to do with that which is in place of, resembles something else. Now, God, you have created us in your image and likeness. It's a derived image. A derived image means that he is the source. He's the source of the image. So what we're looking at, us humans, God is the source. We'd have to look at God in order to understand our own persons. That's very important. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's creating us in his image and likeness, and God is going to go and do a wonderful thing. He's the source of all of our being. We're created for him. We're able to say, I am. We have existence. We're able to say, I ought. We have moral responsibility. We're able to say, I will. And we have great volition and make choices. Angels had all choice. And we humans have to have choice. Angels had a choice. We have a choice. Now, God, you did that in your wonderful plan. And awesome plan, to say the least. And by the way, when you think of the derived image, you want to think of Colossians, you have to turn there, 1:15, where Christ is the image of God. That's the word, image, derived image. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, and God did what? God is the source. You want to know what the Lord Jesus is like? He's like God. Like God. Watch, I have borrowed it from a person back there. It's not much, but you won't see it. It's a little mirror. God, that when you think of image and likeness in the light of all of the New Testament and Old Testament, think of a mirror. God created us. And so when we look, I don't want to look at that. We look in the mirror. God created us, so when he looks in the mirror, he sees himself. You understand that? That's critical. That's what he created you for, to see himself in a most wonderful way. Now, and so the image. And Adam and Eve are created in the image of God, and they were able to go in their wonderful makeup and reflect God. And they enjoyed a wonderful relationship to God. They did. They had a wonderful exercise of life. They had an awesome experience of light as opposed to darkness. And they had that. Now, Adam and Eve had a choice, and you know they made a bad choice in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what they did. And the day they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died, Genesis 2:15. They surely died. Intensive, certain is the word, little verb. Intensive, certainty. They surely will die. And the devil is going to use that in chapter 3 again. Now, they would die spiritually. Now, when we said that, and they did, Adam and Eve went and they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Eve did that, She already had made the decision before she ever ate of that tree. She didn't eat of the tree impulsively. She chose to eat of that tree. So before she ever took the fruit, she determined to take the fruit. That's important. Now, and so what happened? Well, Adam and Eve went, and instead of looking at God, they turned around and looked at themselves. You understand? Instead of looking at God, that's what God made them for. God made them for God to see himself, to enjoy himself. Animals, you want a mouse or a kangaroo or a butterfly. They all have instinct, wonderful, wonderful instinct. And they do. Spiders make the perfect web, whatever it is. They do that wonderfully. They just do it. And they don't have to be trained or anything. The birds fly thousands of miles. They do that. Uh-huh. But you and I are not given instinct. We're given God. And you don't have instinct, and neither do I. God gave us himself, his image. And God is going to show his wonderful person by us humans. That's what he's going to do. He'll take us vessels of dust, and he's going to demonstrate his awesome being. Now, what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? As we said a moment ago, they went and looked at themselves, and I can be like God. And you understand, their mentality, their being was awesome in their having light and life. So when they could say, why not? Why not? Why not be no good and evil, etc.? Now they did that. And when they did that, they sinned. And they turned it around and looked, and Adam and Eve fell. They died. How many seconds did it take for them to die? The day they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were finished. And the light gone. The life gone. You have to keep that in mind. Because, why? Because we're looking and we're trying to say, well, Adam and Eve died. What does it mean to die? Hang on. Now, what does it mean? Well, God, the only way we can even come close is to understand when the only other person that can come along that can even give us help is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's without what? Sin. He is light. He is the light of the world. He is life. When he went to the cross at noon for 3 hours, he bore your sin and mine in his own body on the tree. And he understood and he experienced death. We have never known it from that standpoint. Adam and Eve, they died. And when they died, the closest we can come to even grabbing that is that Christ, when he died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, faced eternal separation from God. No more life. No more light. My God, what? Why hast thou forsaken me? Now, keep that in mind. Because they experienced death. So when God gave them a promise, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, etc., they are ready. They're guilty. They're hiding behind the tree and fig leaves. They're guilty as can be. They know they are. And they're ready to believe when God offers them, and they put on the coats of skin that God provided, Genesis 3:20 and all of that. They did that. Wow. But Cain and Abel never knew life, and they never knew light. They were born spiritually dead. Do you understand? That's important. They were born spiritually dead. They had no idea what their mother and father had happened to them. They have no idea. And therefore, here they are facing death. Not only death, they're dead. They don't know life, and they don't know light. And God, that has to help us, because Cain, how could you go and kill your brother? How could you go and you can't, you're cursed, Cain. And so you go and build your city, which you never finish, participle. Never finish the city. Trying to compensate for the absence of God. Well, here's Cain and here's Abel, and they sinned. And they died, and they were dead spiritually. And so therefore, God, here we are, and so we're all born. And to hop along quickly. Hop along. God, what do we have? Well, now we're going to look at us. In Adam, all die. In Adam's fall, we sinneth all. So God, here we are going, and all humans are born dead. That's why it's so easy to neglect and be indifferent to God, because we never had life. If you never had sight, would you tell me how much it would bother you with the color chart, orange, pink, blue, and someone held it up? Would it make any difference to you if you had never seen anything? It wouldn't make any difference at all, because you've never seen. When we're born dead, and God's trying to tell us we need life, we don't need, it isn't a trip to heaven God's looking to give us. He's trying to tell us, you who are dead in trespasses and what? Sin. Ephesians, you don't have to turn out because of time's problem. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you are dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 5, you who are dead. So, and keep going. There's no question we are spirit, people are spiritually dead. They have zero understanding of God. That doesn't mean they don't know God exists. It's just they have no relationship to Him. No relationship. And so that's why people, it's so easy not to be saved. Because we're talking about a life. And what do we talk about life? We're looking out at the, where do we humans live? Where is our life? Our life is where? Looking out what? Looking out pizza, whatever we can get, right? Wherever we can go, we're looking to what? Be able to have existence. What is existence? Work, home, school, play, pleasures, pain? That's our life. We're trying to find, think of, the, you know all this stuff. In Matthew chapter 6, what? The Lord Jesus said, it has nothing to do with anything. Your life, the Gentiles, 30, the Gentiles, what? They're busy trying to find it. Security, safety, surety, satisfaction. They're trying to find all this. That's their life. It's our life. It isn't, life isn't in here. Life's out here, isn't it? You can't lay in bed and say, what are people lay in bed all day if you had to do that. No, life is being involved. But that isn't what God's talking about. God's talking about a relationship to God that involves a relationship of life, living, wonderful, wonderful living of life. So God, we've got to have life. So what are you doing, God? Christ died on the cross. He died. And for what on earth? Well, why? He bore our sin in His own body on the tree, and He died. Did He need to die? No. All of us needed to die. The wages of what? Sin is what? The wages of sin is death. And we have to die. And Christ, before you were ever born, determined to die for you. Do you understand that? That's why you could be created. God would never put you on planet Earth if He hadn't a solution. You're born dead in trespasses and sin. God better have a plan, because God is perfectly righteous and fair and reasonable. Now, in the light of that little bit, so here we are looking at God, and in the process, we are born dead. Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 7. You know all these things. All I'm doing is just reminding us, because I want to try to pin down the problem that answers all problems. If to the degree and measure I don't understand is the degree and measure us humans have got problems in the church and out of it. Now, Mark chapter 7, we're born dead. So that's why it's so easy to be unsaved. So we talk about eternal life and going to heaven. And that isn't very intriguing to us, because it's the future. And that's why the cults, Mormonism and all of that, that's why they can sell. You can die somewhere and have a special planet and whatever, you know. And that's inviting. But just to die and have life now, and that doesn't make sense. Because I look at everyone else around me, and I look at all my Christian friends, and I look at all the people that go to church, and I don't see any difference between them most of the time and the other people of the world. I don't see a lot of difference between them. They just go to church. That's what they do. Now, so that isn't very intriguing, it isn't? No. But if you were to come up against using our Lord, when you came up against him in that day, before he went to the cross, you knew, they knew, he was different. He was awesomely different. That man had something Herod didn't have, Pontius Pilate didn't have. No one had it. The Pharisees didn't have it. The Essenes didn't have it. The Sadducees didn't have it. He had it. Wow. That's an awesome thing. Mark chapter 7, I want to take a look at your heart and mind. And because I need that, because I need to remind myself what death is. Hang on to that. What does it mean to be born dead? What does it mean when Eve took an Adam of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they lost the good, and they found the evil? We are born evil. Would you please tell it to us? Verse 18. He said unto them, 7:18 of Mark, and he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? So you can eat the lousiest junk food and whatever, and it won't make any difference. That isn't what makes you bad. It's your heart that makes you bad. It's because you're dead in sin. Hang on. Now, God, you're going to help us. Verse 19, because the reason, it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, outside, and purging all meats of foods. Verse 20, and he said unto them, I said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Well, what on earth do we have inside of us? We have an old nature. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. And without taking time to read in Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21, what do we know about your works of the flesh? The works of the flesh aren't very good. And one of those works of the flesh is idolatry, isn't it? So why on earth are people idolatrous? Because it's part of our nature. That's why people get into everything, all kinds of things. That's why we try to play God sometime. Why we discount God. Because we've got that nature in us, idolatrous nature inside of us. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So Adam and Eve, looking to God, sinned, and they set the stage for us humans on planet Earth. And thus we are born spiritually dead, and therefore God has to help us in every single way that is necessary. God, you got to help us. Now, in the light of your old nature and mine, that's evil, that's idolatrous, that old nature God hates. How much does he hate it? He crucified it. Do you understand that? He crucified you. How much do you want to save? How much do you want to work with? I'm going to work with this and work with that, and I'm going to get help, and I'm going to talk about things. That's our system. That's our world system. That is not God's system. That's what we do. We try to help each other. Nothing wrong with that, and it's understandable. But it isn't God's solution. God's solution, he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, and you came to know him as your Savior, you find yourself on the cross, and when you find yourself on the cross, you find yourself in a risen Christ who's able to give you his life. your death, his life. And you receive him as your Savior. And that's what you do in a most awesome way. And God, you have to do that. And all the rest of it, and I know, it doesn't help anything. I took 3 years of counseling at the state hospital. In fact, it was at the end of that counseling, they started circular. You ever had circular counseling? I liked it because you get $50 from each person and you have them sit in a circle and talk to each other and say, hour's up, see you next week. And nothing wrong. I'm not cutting it. I understand. Anything that helps, God help us. But it doesn't solve anything. You understand? You're trying to go and fix the heart by talking and counseling and helping, and it won't work. It never works. You're trying to take, you think of your heart, you got a big bag of potatoes down inside of you, and you take one potato and bring it up and talk to the other potato, and when you're all done, you're still with what? Potatoes. Potatoes, potatoes, potatoes. When you're all done, you have nothing else. What did you do? Well, we talked this, and there's no question. I quit smoking and I started drinking and whatever. Whatever your system you want. And you can do all of that. But you didn't solve anything. You're supposed to be able to enjoy life. Not a human existence trying to function. That isn't what it's about. Go with me. You'll know this. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, Paul, God put his servants through all the exercises they needed in order to be understanding. And so Paul had his exercise. And in the process, Paul, what did you learn? Well, I learned that in me, remember, Romans 7, verse 18, I know that in me, in my heart, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It's in me. I understand that. Now, Paul, I'm going to send you to so-and-so, and you'll be able to be a good Pharisee. The Pharisees worked at trying to be right. There's no question. And so we're going to go to the Pharisees and try to get the rightness that we need. And so Paul said, wow, what? And by the way, Paul, you're a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee to boot, all of it. Anyway, so Paul, what are you going to tell us that we need to underline in our head and heart? In verse 18, in me dwelleth no good thing. No means no. And the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not in the present tense. I'm never finding. How am I going to find in my own thinking, in my own heart, how am I going to find good? How am I going to make it good for God? And what method, what system are you going to look at in your life, playing with it, that is going to come out good for God? I find not. I don't find. Who said that? Paul. If anyone, that he certainly has an advantage over us. I find not. And verse 24, you know, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now, God, where do you got to go? Well, then you go down to chapter 8, as you know. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, God, what did you do? Now, God, did you fix our old nature? No. No. Never, never, never. Do you know, some of you have been on aeroplanes, etc.? And when you go on an aeroplane, you go on the aeroplane, you go through the inspection line and everything, and you get to the plane, you sit in the plane, and then everyone goes, and the pilot makes the stewardess makes an announcement. The pilot's going to pull back on the lever, and everyone flap their hands. Everyone flap their hands. And you got to go, 180 miles an hour, 180 taking off. Anyway, whatever it is. And you flap your hands. Is that what you do? God, you don't fix How do you fly? You use the law of gravity is the same. It's the law of aerodynamics you put into practice. You don't defile gravity. You use the other law. You can't get rid of your old nature. You aren't going to fix your old nature. And no matter how you maneuver and play with it, it's still your old nature, even if you're nicer. It's still you and not God. And so, God, you've got to help us. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in. His wonderful ministry is to lift us up and bring to the front. Our reason we're breathing is because when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received Jesus Christ, who is God. And that's our problem. Because how do we go to see it? To see it over, if you would. Oh, and by the way, you're right here in Romans. Turn to chapter 8, just to make sure we're locked in okay here. And in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, which you know, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. In me dwelleth no good thing, and I can't fix it, and I can't change a thing. So I don't care what theology, whatever you want to look at, to reason out. You can't fix in here. It's impossible to fix you. Is that right? Only God can do it. And what did he do? He died for you. He didn't come to give you a little solution to drink. He died, his death. Reckon yourself what? Dead indeed. Dead indeed in Christ. The life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith, the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. So I need to understand, I can't fix it, and I need to lock that in. If I don't lock it in, you'll be surprised how much our human nature is busy making our life work. And we need it. We don't need God. And we receive the Lord as our Savior. He's God. Ask the average Christian that you know. Ask them to tell you about God inside of them. Is that all right? Would you please tell me about how God is inside of you? Well, I didn't think about God being inside of me. But if God isn't inside of you, you aren't saved. Now, you may not know it, and that's the whole problem, because we don't realize. God made us in his image and likeness. He wants to be able to see himself. He doesn't. That's what God did for us in order to save us. And if you don't have that, and I'm telling you, too many of us have no sense of God's holy, infinite being, who everything is in the middle of what? God. Everything. Not everything is in the middle of God. God is in the middle of everything. And not God is in the middle of things. No, God is in the middle. God has no measurements in any direction. As he is, they say 2 trillion galaxies they have observed or they have calculated that they know of. I have no idea how you do that. And the finite universe, in the light of infinite, and God's infinite, he has no measurements. So therefore, Everything God does is finite. And how are you going to demonstrate your marvelous person, God, to us? I'm going to create little bugs and big bugs and you humans, and you're all little. And we everything you study is awesomely superior. Flowers, everything. Wow. Wow. God. It's awesome. and God, we're smack dab in the middle, and you want to be in the middle of us. And that's what it's all about. And if I have Jesus, Jesus died, Jesus loves me, out here somewhere. And God, somewhere, God, you're somewhere, and here we are. And I need to understand, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you received God. Over to John chapter 14. And in the light of that, John chapter 14, may I pick up, please, in thought, John 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And how did the Lord Jesus Christ answer them? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where, if I follow you, God, and you're the way, and you're reality, you're true, and you're the life, where am I going to end up? I'm going to end up with the Father. I'm going to end up with the Father. Hold your finger here a minute. It'll keep you awake. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. All kinds of ways to do this. I'm just fumbling it out here. 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and if I can, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Purpose. What on earth for the purpose? What kind of purpose? That he might bring us to where? To God. So when you get saved, what is the whole objective of getting saved? For God to find his home that he was excluded because of sin, made possible by Christ's death on the cross, to recover his position, rightful position in your life. It's about God being in. If you got that clear in your head and got that, where is his God running the whole shebang, universe, which is a finite expression, or the trillions of galaxies? A little dot in the middle of God. God, you're awesome. And he is. Wow. He is. Thank you. Now, being awesome, what do we know? Well, God, you want us to know you. Well, if I don't have an understanding that I am, God is in me, I'm trying to go and think about God as a believer. I'm trying to think about God out here, and I'm not going to get very far. I'll get a little bit, but not very far. It's not going to go very far. Not until the day comes that I wake up, that God who created the universe and the angels and everything, God, are you running in your sovereign, wonderful person running everything? God said, I am. I am. Now, God, in the light of that, in the light of that, in the light of running everything you are, and we received you as our Savior. Now, God, are you running all those angels? Here's the devil. Here's the world system with all of its evil everywhere. And who's running the whole system? God is. And where is God? In your heart. And headquarters, the general, is running things from your heart, isn't he? Oh, I knew that was going to get you. I'm trying to tell you, it's what it is. But we've got to understand it. If I don't understand it, I'm living in this, whatever it is. I'm not going to get anywhere. God, I need to understand. John chapter 14, excuse me. You know it. I appreciate you bearing all of it. I'm just trying to yell at you to... That's the whole problem. The whole problem is believers have such a poor understanding of God and their relationship to Him. And that's it. We got a Jesus we love, we read the Bible, we do all of this, but we have no sense of God's wonderful majesty and mercy in our little head and heart. And we house God. That's why God will say, John 11, well, all this different thing, I'm the resurrection and the life, etc., etc., etc. And Martha looked, and then he said, listen, do you understand? You'll never die. Never die. You'll never die. I gave you eternal life. Guess when eternal life begins? Next week? Nope. After 10 years of theological training? No. The moment you believe, God transfers you, John 5:24, transfers us from death unto what? Life. Well, that's what you have. Either saved or you're not saved. Either you have life or you don't. When do you have it? Now. It's true you're going to live in a body that is flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, etc. We don't need the body. We don't need the body. And God tries to tell us that because we make our life like the world. We're trying to find living, find a better this and cheaper that and work everything out. And we never get anywhere. Because every day we got to start all over again. We got to start all over again trying to find what life is about. And hopefully when retirement comes, we'll have a blessed retirement as the government takes all your money. And we'll have all of that. Wow. We don't have it. We got to have life. It has nothing to do with your family, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father. It has nothing to do with your work, your home, your job, your thinking. It has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And if that's true, you have life. He that hath the Son, John 5:12. He that hath the what? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. Pretty simple. Either you have it or you don't. And you want to be able to go and enjoy that. John chapter 14, again, I keep saying, verse 21. I'll read verse 20 because it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. 14:20. At that day you shall know what? That I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's what it's all about. It's an internal thing. It isn't external. It's internal. God, what did you do? I did a wonderful thing inside of you. I put myself, because I created you in my image and likeness, in order for me to find my home in your heart. And God, as we allow, look to God to do that, then God is going to be what? God. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and receiveth them, keepeth them, is he... It is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest, make myself clear, public, plain, simple, wonderful, obvious, myself to him. Sliding to verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him, and make our abode, our home. Remember, think of John 14, many mansions. Here's the word, verse 23. And make our abode, we're going to find our home in that heart. Who's going to find the home? God the Father and God the Son. And that's what happened if you got saved. And if you got a foggy most notion of that, and you don't have it, I'm telling you, the whole local churches would be in a whole huge different state of existence. We would have a testimony to the world. Wonderful in closing. Oh, closing. Over, if you would, please. To 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just trying to help you. I listened, I watch it come and go all through the years, and nothing ever happens. It's not going to happen. Why? We never do it right. We never do what we're told to do. We never understand what we're supposed to understand and practice. It isn't done. And when it is done, we don't like it because it. If you're going to do the job for us, you're going to point us to whom? To God. And we don't mind you being our leader and our shepherds or whatever you want to call us, people. As long as you don't take me to God. My problem is I don't want to be to God because God, if I realize God is God, what has happened to your life? Doesn't your life change if he's God? Your whole life changes. Your world changes. So I don't want you to lead me to God. I don't mind just singing and preaching and doing. Just don't bring me to God. And John chapter 1 Corinthians 14, I'll have to hold it. I hope you got God. I'll do it with Paul. What do you know of Paul? Paul received Christ as a Savior, Galatians 1:16. And do you know what they said about him? Of a truth, God is in you. Verse 24, God is in you. Yeah, do people say that about you? You received the Lord as your Savior, you said you're a Christian, and they say of a truth, God is in you. God is in you. God is in you. That's true if you're saved, but do you realize it? Do you enjoy it? Are you letting it be an experience? That's what it's all about. It isn't some passive thing. Life is an active word. Believing is an active verb. Wonderful, wonderful. I got to quit. Appreciate your patience. Thank you. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. God, here we are. Thanks a lot. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.